Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Welcome to Hour 2 on this terrific Tuesday. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I want to say thanks to so many of you that have been sending me emails and messages and calling here in the studio and talking to Katie. She loves talking to you all, by the way, and letting us know your input, letting us know you're coming to the rally tomorrow at noon. So excited to meet you. And I want to remind you, if you do want to connect with us during the office hours, you can give us a call at 503-316-1220. And certainly if I'm not here, you can leave me a voicemail and I'll get back with you. You can send me an email at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. If you have a nonprofit organization that you would like to recommend, then we're going to feature some nonprofits in December. And certainly our nonprofits have been challenged this year because of COVID and everything, all their fall fundraising, dessert auctions and things like that that they do to help meet the needs of those that come to their organizations. That's been hindered. And certainly the need has not gone away, right? In fact, it's probably increased. Like Salvation Army, I'm so excited on the day of giving, as you know, Thanksgiving, and then the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, and then Saturday is Small Business Saturday, where we're supposed to get around our small businesses, and then Monday typically is Cyber Monday, and then Tuesday is Day of Giving, and that's usually, I think it's kind of ironic, after all the money spent, then we do a day of giving. It almost should be like the Friday after Thanksgiving should be the day of giving, but I don't know who organizes all of that. So that Tuesday, which is December 1st, we're going to do a day of giving, a special program here for the 2 hours with Salvation Army. So mark that on your calendar. And certainly as you're looking at your charitable giving this year, we want to come alongside these nonprofits that have been hindered. And that's a big part of who I am. For many years, I ran a nonprofit organization, and I know the challenges, and particularly a faith-based nonprofit, you don't get any support of the county or the state or the federal funds. And so it's so fun to line up with our community and watch people get around these nonprofits so that they can continue to meet the needs of those that need our help in the community. And so I want to thank Dave and Paige Smith today, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley, for being a morning show sponsor. They are ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. If you're really looking at maybe some investment income, you're looking at some property, potentially you're looking at upgrading or downsizing. A lot of people are talking about downsizing, not sure what's going on in the economy. And maybe you want an evaluation of your property to see if there's something you want to do. Please let Dave and Paige know and connect with them. Their phone number is 503-939-7099. Looking at the weather forecast for today, 41 degrees right now in the KSLM studio. Today, it'll get up to 52. Tomorrow, yes, we're having this wonderful outreach at noon and a dinner. Looks like rain is in the forecast, temperature about 48 degrees. So if you're planning to attend tomorrow, want to make sure that you bring your rain jacket and some layers of clothing, although this will be under a big tent. I think it'll hold about 500 people or so. So that's something to look forward to. And then on Thanksgiving, you'll be able to take that afternoon walk after you eat turkey. Yes, it's going to be about 50 degrees and partly cloudy sky really through Sunday. So it looks like a fantastic weekend. Maybe some of you want to go on up into the mountains or over to the coast. I think I might have to take a little journey that way. And so we're continuing the discussion this morning and the conversation about how to get involved, how to stand for truth and liberty in our community. And I'm really excited to bring Valerie on the line. And she's actually here in the studio, and she's so brave to come in with me. Thank you, Valerie, for being here today. How was your drive over?
It was a good drive.
Good. So. How are the roads? I usually have, give me a road report.
The roads were pretty clear.
Good.
So getting over here, traffic was moving along quite well and got here in a decent hour.
Well, so glad to have you here and thank you for being game to be in the studio with me. Just for the record, we're social distance and we're all, you're all, I like to have fun with that a little bit because, you know, you can't really see us in here, but you can listen to what's going on. Valerie, you and I met, I think, about a few weeks ago at a Defy the Steal and Go Against the Lockdown rally, right? That
yes.
was one of the first we had. Well, we've had several, but you and I met at since the election.
Correct. It was 2 weekends ago.
And so tell me a little bit about you, first of all. Tell me about like your day-to-day life and who you are. And are you from Oregon? Give me some of those facts.
So yes, I'm here in Oregon. I'm actually in Corvallis. I am a stay-at-home mom. I do childcare, and I've got 9 kids left at home that we homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps me very busy. I absolutely love it. That's not much to tell. That's me.
I'm a
homeschool mom that does childcare, and
I love it. And I spoke as well, and you spoke on stage at the Defy the Steal rally, and you did such a great job. And what I love about Valerie, friends, is even here she's in the studio with me, she's got the smile and the sparkle in her eye, and she is a go-getter. And she's not one just to sit and wait for things to happen. She's in the middle of it, making it happen. And talk to us a little bit about what you shared that day. It was pretty moving about why you got active and what's going on in our culture right now, and in our state and our nation. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So I didn't really do much up until last year in July, when they tried passing HB 3063, which had to do with the vaccines. That was kind of my eye-opening wake-up moment. That's when I started getting involved, figuring out, hey, what can I do? And over the course of the little over a year, I've gotten to meet some amazing people around the state, and we've gotten connected, and we've just started building a network. And it's been amazing to see how many other people are out there and know that I'm not alone. When you feel alone, you don't know what to do. And so you don't do anything. You just sit back and you wonder and you get frustrated and what can I do? And this isn't okay, but you just don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. And I was able to find peoplesrights.org and join up with that. And it has been... it's connected people all across the state. It's actually something that's going on, connecting people nationwide as well.
Mm-hmm.
But getting people involved in their state and meeting other people and what can we do in our communities and just working together. And it's been great because now I'm not alone. And feeling like I'm not alone allows me to step out and be a little bit more bold and say, hey, I've got some friends. I've got some people that are going to fight this battle with me. And that is huge. I think there's a lot of people that... don't do much, one, because they don't know what to do, and two, because they're afraid, they feel alone. So this is just bringing people together to act together, and it's been a journey, and it's been great.
The power of the people is so incredible, and I know on the air we've talked about this. Terry and I on our morning show on typically on Mondays we'll talk about the Constitution, and he has an analogy that I love about a bumblebee. You know, by itself it's nothing but a whole swarm of them.
Oh my goodness.
It's
yes.
Very motivating, right? And so and I remember working in grassroots organizing in South Dakota, and we had a governor at the time who said, where's your army, where's your people? If this is an issue that's important to you, you better show me it's important to a lot of other people to move me, to get my attention. And I think that that's very important strategy, that you do link together. We are better together. We are stronger together. And we do have, it's we the people, right?
Absolutely.
So you decided to do something and you found this group. What about this group appealed to you?
The sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Being not alone. The education, learning what our rights are. Even I went to a private Christian school,
mm-hmm.
and even in a private Christian school, we had civics and social studies, but we didn't actually learn much about the Constitution itself and what our rights are. So everything that I'm having to learn now, I'm learning on my own or with people around me, and it's empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand what your rights are, and then you can act. That's the one thing I really love about this group, is the fact that it empowers the people to stand for their rights that are guaranteed to them in the Constitution that they may not otherwise be aware of.
Because there's such an attitude that's old school that's old history. That's not relevant to today.
And they're not teaching it, especially in our public school systems. And why would they want our kids in the public school system learning about our government and how it actually operates when that then strengthens them to take a stand against the government when the government is doing something that's not okay and violating our rights?
I remember in 2010, I had an opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. for the first time with some ministry leaders, pastors, to a conference that Tony Perkins had put on with a research council. And David Barton was there, and he's an incredible historian, and a lot of times I'll feature his videos too on the show. And he's talking about our American heritage and our Christian American heritage. And I remember sitting in or standing and listening to him in the rotunda, and all of the pictures on the wall depict pictures of faith and history in our American history that we have not been taught about in our regular secular classrooms, that we do have a Christian heritage. We do have values, so that our Constitution is relevant. And it was based on the reality that government doesn't give us our rights, right?
No, our government is there. It's supposed to protect our rights. Mm-hmm. Our government is not there to control us. It's supposed to be a safeguard,
right?
And it's not.
Right. And the best government is our local government, and getting engaged and getting involved at the local level, even like college Republicans and things like that. Wherever you're planted, we need to be engaged, and we need to hold those leaders accountable, because they're there to serve us. We're not their subjects, right?
No.
And that's why we left England. That's why we revolted against their mandates, right, back in the day, and started this wonderful country, the United States of America. And so our Constitution, along with, in my belief, the Bible, they mm-hmm. kind of go hand in hand. And those are the two guidebooks we really need for life, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yep. And it's time that we do our studying.
And the really neat thing is that the Constitution does not apply to just people of faith. It applies to everybody.
Yes.
So even if you're not a believer, even if you have, if you're of a different faith, mm-hmm. even if you don't believe in God,
right,
the Constitution applies to everybody equally.
Yes.
And that is something that we have strayed a long way from. We have so much division in this country. And if we could all get back to the fact that our Constitution protects the rights of every single person, regardless of their race, regardless of their faith,
mm-hmm.
it's everybody.
Well, and it's religion. When they say, oh, separation of state and religion and all of the, you know, government and church and all of that. Well, it's not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion and belief. And that includes to not believe.
Exactly.
And that embodied in our Constitution is the most freeing thing, really, about America that other countries don't have. They don't have that ability, along with our First Amendment rights and along with our, you know, Second Amendment rights and things like that. And so we're going to continue the discussion this morning. We've got some good ground to cover, and I'm excited to have Valerie in the studio with me, and I'm excited to get you, my friends and listeners, connected to this people's rights group that is growing in numbers, and we are doing things all across this state and the nation. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. Just a reminder, this will be up on our website at kslm.news as a podcast. Share with your friends and family. Let them know so they can get involved. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. It's 8:22. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Valerie today. And we're talking about grassroots activism and getting active. And my very first experience of activism, I wasn't even looking for it. And I tell this story, and I've been kind of teasing about telling this story, and it kind of falls in line with what Will is dealing with at his college. But I went for the first couple of years to a Christian college, and until the scholarship went away. And then I took a break, got married, started having children. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be able to make any kind of income, I better finish my degree and get my degree. So I went to Black Hills State University up in South Dakota, Spearfish, South Dakota, in fact, and had a great experience. You know, I was building my family and working and going to school, you know, juggling all the stuff. And as I was getting ready to graduate, I thought, you know, we're talking about graduation ceremony and stuff. I'm at the Christian radio station. So I was well aware of some of the things that were going on across the state. This is when they started to pull prayer out of the high schools. So this is in the 90s where they said, nope, at public high schools, at graduation ceremonies, you cannot have public prayer anymore. You can't have it. And so there was debate going on and back then about it. And so I thought, well, I wonder if they're going to have prayer at our college graduation. And so I called the office of the president, and I said, dear Mr. President, to the receptionist, I'm just curious in the ceremony of, and I have leadership position. I've been involved in the college. I've had some leadership positions in some organizations and things. And I said, I'm just curious if is there going to be prayer at our ceremony? And the little receptionist kind of got snipey with me and said, well, no, there's not going to be prayer. And I said, well, why not? And she said, because that's a violation of church and state, blah, 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 blah. And I said, So I had been involved with a gentleman who used to work for the Baltimore Sun, and he was a Catholic man who had worked with me on some euthanasia and information at the college. We brought Dr. Rice in from Notre Dame and said, look, this is a problem, euthanasia. And of course, now in Oregon, we know that it's legal here. But this is something down the pike that's going to be problematic, and we need to be aware of it. And I had brought these seminars and stuff and helped facilitate it. So I called this guy and I said, hey, I said, do you know what exactly it is that keeps people from praying at a ceremony at high school or college? He goes, what's going on? And I told him, and it lit a fire under him. He started calling the media. He started calling the media and saying, did you know that they're not going to have prayer at graduation and blah, blah, blah. And the media started calling the president's office. And in the front page of the next day of the paper, we will not have, it just turned into this big thing. And in the meantime, I started taking petitions, and I started getting all of my fellow graduates, they were graduating seniors, to sign a petition. Yes, we want prayer at college. At our ceremony. And so I had a whole long list of hundreds of people to sign. Yeah, well, I don't really go to church, but you know, it's kind of like you get married in a church, even if you don't go to church. Yeah, we should, this is tradition. We should have prayer. We should have a blessing at our, I want that, you know? And so the college professor comes, or the president comes out and says, we're not in the papers. We're not going to have it. And with all the pressure, he calls me to his office. He calls me into his office. In the meantime, I talk to American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow's group, who was early infant stages back then. Now they're defending the President Trump, the same guy, Jay Sekulow, that's on his legal team. I called them and I said, hey, I need to know why there's not prayer at high school anymore and what's going on. Well, I found out that what was happening is they were inviting a pastor to come onto the high school grounds to lead a prayer, but they were telling him what he could and could not say. Oh. Do you know what that is? That's a violation of First Amendment rights. That's what why they weren't calling pastors in anymore, and that's why they weren't having it, is because they couldn't tell them what to say. So they just stopped inviting them. That's where the conflict was. So I found out that prayer could be held at graduation if it was non-proselytizing, student-led. You know, you could still have prayer at graduation. So by the time everything hit the press and all this opposition or whatever, the president calls me into his office, and I'm prepared. I have all my notes. I know what my rights are. I know that, you know, and he's like, and I pled my case to him. I'm like, look, if it's student-led and here's my petitions, the students want this, non-proselytizing, which means I'm not going to try to convert people to Jesus during my prayer. I don't have to ask them to stand or sit or bow their head or any of that. Just do it, that it can be held. And so he kind of looks at me, and I mean, we're talking the College Board of Education's involved now for the whole state. I mean, it rivaled, you know, all up. And so he looks at me and is like, well, it looks like you're pretty articulate. I'm going to ask you to lead the prayer. Why don't you lead the prayer? And by the way, I'm Lutheran.
Oh my.
And I said, he goes, but I do need to see that prayer. See, I hadn't given him all my notes about it. And he's like, and I said, well, Mr. President, I said, and then I shared with him that this is the whole debate, is that they were trying to, critique or tell the person leading the prayer what they could and could not say. This is what legally I can do. I said, now in honor of you, I will show you my prayer, but I don't have to. And so that Sunday, graduation day, I was asked to lead prayer at our ceremony among my peers. And I believe it's the last time prayer has ever been held on that college campus, and that was in 1994. But it was an activity of activism, and something I didn't look at, a battle I wasn't looking at, like three finals before Friday. So it wasn't something I was looking to do, but it's certainly something that came along my way, and I had a decision. Am I going to stand for our rights? It's kind of the frog in boiling water, or am I going to let him go right on by? And I learned so much about how the power of the people, the petitions, the momentum, the calling in, the press part of it, you know, calling in to the president, and the pressure for public opinion, it all works in grassroots activism. And I tell that story to you today and to our listeners today, that you and I can make a difference. And certainly together, our momentum can make a big difference. What are we willing to do? Are we going to let it pass on by? Or are we going to jump on the train and do something about it, right?
Absolutely.
So we have an opportunity to join people's rights.
Yes.
We have an opportunity to get engaged. How do they do that? What do they do?
If you go to www.peoplesrights.org, it gives you a lot of information about your rights. And then there is a little button that you can click to join. From there, you join, you select your state, your area, put in your information, and that's how you sign up. After that, then area or state assistants can send you text and email notifications, alerts, information, help you get active within your community, reach out to your neighbors, begin hosting meetings that are local to your community so that you know what you can do together.
That's fantastic. And we're going to continue the conversation after this break. You and I, we are better together and we can make a difference. Let's stand our ground today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this Thanksgiving week, I'm so curious if you are holding Thanksgiving. Valerie, tell me what's going on in your world on Thanksgiving Day.
In our world, we are just doing our own family.
Mm-hmm.
Our family is already quite large with 11 people in
yes.
it. So that's enough cooking.
Uh-huh.
So other than that, on Wednesday, we're going to be going up to the Capitol and doing
Yay.
Thanksgiving there, getting meeting different people, community, helping feed. You know, there's a lot of places in the area that are not doing Thanksgiving for the homeless community.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also an outreach to them as well.
Yes.
In addition to just making the governor's orders irrelevant.
And fellowshipping with one another. When you talk about making the governor's orders not relevant, here's an interesting story, and I don't know if you had a chance to see this at all, but there's a Multnomah County commissioner. She traveled to Hawaii. She traveled to Hawaii after the governor had given her mandate and said, no travel, not recommended, that kind of thing. She's Sharon Mirren, I don't know if I'm even saying that right, who has called for restrictions on public gatherings and business operations to help slow the spread of the virus, said, no problem. She sees no problem with her own personal travel. She's a Multnomah County Commissioner, and she's drawing criticism for her decision to travel to Hawaii despite a spike in the coronavirus cases here in Oregon that resulted in travel warnings. Multnomah County employees who spoke on a condition of anonymity said she is sending the wrong message during a critical stage of the COVID-19 pandemic. Reached by phone on Monday, she confirmed that she has spent the last 2 weeks at a condo at Big Island in Hawaii. I'm working virtually and I'm also on a vacation, she says, who arrived in Hawaii on November 10th, 3 days before Kate Brown urged Oregonians to limit interstate travel. She has called for stricter restrictions for public gatherings and business operations. And this Multnomah County leader, quote unquote, says, I traveled when there was no surge, when there was no advisory. And she's also an emergency room physician. There are very stringent requirements here in Hawaii, and I have followed all of those. I mean, it's just like a double standard. It's like you're hearing Newsom and some of these others who are having dinner parties. It's like, my subjects have to comply or I'll send in the police, but I can do whatever I want. Now, there was a rumor, too. I don't know if you heard this rumor, that maybe Governor Brown was in Hawaii as well.
I heard the
rumor. Did you hear the rumor? Well, apparently, this story from KGW, and you can find it on KGW.com. Apparently, they verified that no, Governor Brown did not attend this conference in Hawaii, that she is here in Oregon. So that was, everybody's like, where's Kate Brown? Is she at this conference? Because there's Washington, Oregon, and California people at this conference for 2 weeks during this supposedly freeze, having a wonderful time, and what are they doing? You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. So when we talk about people's rights and coming together, it's about holding people accountable, holding our leaders accountable. You can't say, oh, we should have restrictions and lockdown, and then you go do whatever you want, right?
Correct.
We know as parents, and you said you have 9 children.
Left at home,
left
yes.
at home. Oh,
yes.
Oh my. And all together?
17.
I love it. Oh, you are a sister from another mother. I have 5, but and they're all promoted out of the house. We have stories we could share, I'm sure. And I was a foster mom too, so at times my levels were higher, and absolutely love it. But you know, as a mother, we cannot, our kids will not let us get away with saying one thing and doing another, right?
They call you out on it instantly.
All the time.
Unless they know better, in which case they don't say anything. They just kind of look at you because
Yes, and they keep track, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do.
Our kids
they
keep
have
track.
Memories like none other. When they remember exactly what you said, unless it's what you told them to do.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, I didn't hear you.
Exactly.
Selective hearing, right? So as parents, and certainly knowing that it's important that we follow through and do what we say you do, and sometimes that's tough if they haven't met their promised behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, mom, I'll do the dishes, or yeah, mom, I'll take out the trash. You know, usually there's some kind of consequence or accountability, right? And so that starts in the home, and we teach responsibility to these children, and as we raise them, we hope they hold on to these things, right? And that they show honor and community and things. And what we're seeing right now, children that haven't had that guidance become adults who believe that they're owed things and that they're entitled and that the government should pay for their education. The government should, you know, provide free health care. There's such a disconnect, isn't there?
There is very much so.
And those of us that are working in our homes and now as grandparents, you know, trying to instill these values in our children and our grandchildren that, you know, we have to work hard for the things that we have in life and we have to take care of them, right?
Yeah.
So what are you doing in your home to show and demonstrate with your kids? What kinds of civic things are you doing in the community to show that it's important that we give back, those kinds of things?
right now the kids have actually been, we've been just doing a lot of studying with homeschooling about what they've been learning about what their rights are. And they've been doing a lot of watching and a lot of asking questions. Mom, what are you doing? What's this? So it's been a great educational opportunity. But now they've been seeing me do this for a little while. And so that, Mom, can we come with you?
Aww.
Mom, I want to go with you. I want to learn how I can do this, how I can stand up for other people. So they've started to join me a bit more frequently. And it's really neat because the people that they are meeting, the connections that they're making, them seeing that, hey, I can do something, I can make a difference. There's a lot more other people like me as well. There's a lot of other kids being raised like me. There was another homeschool mom that I know, her kids were taking a 6-week constitutional course. It's once a week through, I believe it's Patriots Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter, after going through that, drew up a petition for their church because their coffee shop had been shut down.
Oh, wow.
So the church had chosen to close the coffee shop within the building. And so her daughter drew up a petition, and she went around and got 83 signatures within one day.
Woohoo!
And so just kids learning that, hey, there are things that they can do and getting them active. And our kids have a lot of energy, so let's help direct that energy into making positive changes and getting them involved and educating them where school systems aren't.
I'm kind of thinking, and I've been toying with this idea, do you think there's a need for it? I'm thinking about like a grassroots boot camp, an activism boot camp, maybe like a one-day training with local citizens who would like to learn how can we do this? Do you think that's something people would be interested in?
I think so. It might need to be 2 days.
Or two-day seminar, yes.
Oh, there is so much to cover.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if there are people that would like to put something like that on, I would be more than happy to get involved and help spread the word.
It'd be interesting to hear from you, our listeners, today on the conversation, either from last hour or this hour. If you have any input and you want to join the conversation, 503-589-1220, you're invited into the conversation. I think maybe we're up to something, Valerie. I think with the people's rights and what you're learning from them and their resources and some of the grassroots things that I have, maybe you and I could come up with something where we do a boot camp and a training on how we can be effective and how we can come alongside people like Will from First Hour, a college Republican who's under attack for standing up for liberty and our freedoms. And I think this is something needed in our community. And certainly right now with the lockdown, and we can't have so many people supposedly, there's things we can do online. But I think we need to put something together to start building strategies, start building, equipping ourselves, right, with this information.
Well, we can do it in person.
We
have the right to do it in person.
We'll just call it church. We can have up to 25 people. We'll have someone lead in prayer, and we'll do this boot camp. We'll talk about the Constitution. We'll talk about ways that we can be effective. I think it would be a highly attended event, don't you?
Yeah, people want to know what they can do. People need, they're starving for information and education and action.
Now, there are a lot of people that listen to this show that maybe don't get on Facebook and they're not necessarily on social media. Maybe they'll go to a website and that kind of thing, but they certainly like to connect by phone. There is a text message. They can text a number and it will give them a link to sign up through their phone if they have a smartphone. What is that?
Correct. It's text the word rights to the number 80123, and it will kick back a link to you to sign up.
And it's important that we do these things because together we are making a difference, and I think it's time that we stop being the silent majority.
Absolutely. I think being the silent majority is part of the problem.
And what you have within the last couple of years stepped up and said, nope, not anymore. I'm gonna do something. Have you voted? Have you been politically involved in the past?
Recently, yes. Before, I was one of those people that was just kind of apathetic. Like, my vote isn't going to count. What can I do? Doesn't really matter. And over the past little over a year, I realized, yeah, it does matter. And just figuring out what to do. And if I, as just one person, can start reaching other people so can others. It's just, it's that taking that first step, getting mm-hmm. past that fear, that initial hesitation, that worry. And if people don't know what they can do, they can reach out and we will find something for them to do.
Did you have someone influence you on your political party? Someone have a discussion with you that this is what a Republican is, this is what a Democrat is, or you don't want to be affiliated with either one? Did you have anybody tell you that or talk to you about that?
Not really. For me, I'm registered as a Republican, but to be quite honest, I lean more towards, you know, constitutional libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
But in our form of government, we have basically two party. It's a two-party system.
Right.
As much as I may not like it, that's kind of what we have, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So it's had to pick one for registering that more closely aligned with my views.
And your values, yes. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're coming out, they're not silent anymore, they're not non-affiliated, they're wanting to line up and make a difference. And so we're encouraging you to do so. Continuing the conversation after this, you're welcome to join the conversation. 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. I'm stepping on my way. Good morning. My strength can give me.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, the time goes so fast already in the last segment of the second hour. So glad to have you tuning in today. I'm Stacey Ann, and on the air with me, or in the studio actually, which is really wonderful, is Valerie. And we're going to open up the phone lines. And I think on the air with me, I have Ron this morning. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, my dear. How you doing? God bless you both, ladies.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thanks for joining the conversation.
I'm going to tell you three things we got to do. Number one, I think I would require that we need to start teaching our state constitution first, along with the federal constitution. We need our young teenager and adults to become young Republicans or whatever group may be, but as a constitutional conservative that is in the Republican Party in Polk County, I may be the lion that has teeth, but you have to stand by principle. Our party was founded by faith and foundation. You cannot serve two masters. The problem is in our state is that we want to appease. And people like ourselves is tired of the appeasing, and that's why a lot of Republicans or conservatives as a whole, Christian conservatives, they do not vote for the Republicans because they want to lean too far one direction or another. I mean, everybody has faults, previous governor candidate in 18, but if you look at his record, he was 94% conservative. But yet people will go through and went off the one thing, even though that one thing, which was he may have been pro-abortion, but when you look at the main one, when he, in 2017, he voted against the last bill with Bill Post and various other people in the state as a whole. Even he could not vote to have sex change operations and people, illegal aliens and teenagers up 12 years old to kill a baby. But everybody runs on the mantra as a whole, but when you don't look at the sum. And the problem is in the state, my dear, both ladies, is that they do not give a person. If we're Christians, we have to be able, if we cannot get, we want to pluck the one thing out of somebody's eye, like in Matthew 7, the one splinter out of somebody's eye, but yet you got a whole bundle of logs or one big giant log in your own eye, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. But at the same time, you cannot serve two masters. We are a constitutional Republic that has Judeo-Christian values. We need to teach back. And my suggestion is start with the Heritage series on YouTube with your young teenage kids and adults, and then there's a constitutional series by David Barton on Rick Green on YouTube.
Oh, I love David Barton. I think we're going to, on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, I'm going to do a special program, Ron, and we're going to feature some of David Barton's work on the history of Thanksgiving, because again, in the cancel culture, they're trying to make it something that it isn't. And I feel personally, I'm going to talk about my feelings now and my emotions, that this Thanksgiving freeze lockdown is just as much an attack and assault on Christianity and what Thanksgiving is all about than it is on the virus. I personally feel that, and I think us getting together tomorrow at noon for this dinner and this community celebration and giving thanks is so important, and it's setting a standard in our state to say, no, we are going to meet as a people, we are going to give thanks, and we're going to join together, and we are aligning ourselves. Yes, we're different individuals, but together we're the same, and I think it is important that we teach our history, and I love that you're joining the conversation and what you had to say. Do you have anything, Valerie?
Yeah. Speaking to when it comes to particularly believers, one of the arguments that I have heard over and over is when it talks in Romans 13 about everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, and therefore we need to submit to what Governor Brown dictates or this, that, and the other. But the really neat thing about our form of government here in the United States is the authority is we the people. That is the government, is we the people. That is the authority that God has established. And therefore, it's not us that are acting against God's authority. It is the governor who is acting against that. And that is one thing that I cannot stress enough, is that we do not have a king. We do not have a queen. Our constitutional republic is unique. Our form of government is unique in that the authority lies within we the people.
Mm.
And so when we're told in Romans 13 to subject ourselves to the governing authority, that is we the people. It is not one individual. It is not a governor. It is not a president. It is not a mayor. It is we the people.
Oh, that's so very good. And it seems so simple, but it's very complex because it's gotten lost.
It has. And that big part of that is education. We mm-hmm. are not taught these things. Our kids are not taught these things, especially in our school system. It is our responsibility as parents. That's one of the great things about COVID, actually, and all this lockdown stuff, is that children are now home with their parents. And I have spoken to more parents since COVID about homeschooling than I have in the entire 10 plus years that I've been doing it. And parents now have an opportunity to see what their kids are being taught, to teach their kids themselves, and go back to the fundamental basics of what was our country founded on and how it relates to them.
And they're really having an opportunity to be involved in that educational piece and take control when they've been abdicating their role and their control over to the schools. And I think that's why we're in this crisis and this constitutional crisis, not only the Oregon Constitution, but our state or our national constitution as well, is because these fundamental things aren't being taught to our kids.
Yeah. And this is not a partisan issue.
No.
This is not a Republican thing. This is not a Democrat thing. This applies across the board. We all have those same fundamental rights, and we can disagree on how those things are implemented, but if we can agree on what our basic rights are,
yes,
and get back to that instead of arguing about the little things, then uniting together, we can do so much more.
True progression can
yes.
happen. You know, a lot of times it's not even the liberals. I don't even like to use that anymore because a friend of mine that was on the show here actually said conservative values are really liberal because we really do care about the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And we do want to hear the other side. We want to learn and grow from it. Whereas the progressives don't. They don't want to hear our thoughts. They don't want to hear our insight. They want to shut us down, and they want to take complete control so that we are subjects, that we're not in this together in a sense, even though they say these things. And we've been working on messaging. And in fact, when I share tomorrow at the luncheon and in the future when I share, we're going to talk about changing the message back to the way it's supposed to empower the people to make the difference. And that's what you're doing. I so appreciate you, Valerie. I appreciate your boldness and your courage. And I just speak encouragement to you today. Thank you for what you're doing. Talk to the people on how they can get connected. Tell us one more time what they can text and what the website is.
So the website is peoplesrights.org, and you can click join and sign up there, or you can text the word rights, RIGHTS, to 80123.
And we'll put this up on the show plan as well so that you all can have it. I encourage you to download this podcast, my friends. Share it with your friends and family. Get people involved. And tomorrow you'll be there, right?
Yes, I will.
It's going to be a wonderful time tomorrow at noon. We're going to have a Thanksgiving gathering of all we the people, right?
Absolutely.
All of us. And we encourage you to join us. You'll meet Valerie, you'll meet me, and so many others that are willing to go side by side and face this together. Thank you so much, Valerie, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Have a fantastic day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh my goodness, the time goes so fast. We could probably talk about these things all day. Thank you for tuning in, friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a fantastic day.